Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas.
Hello, my name is Alan Presley. I'm with Houston Baptist University, and I'm the Associate Director of Web Strategies with the Innovation and Strategic Marketing Department. And I'm here today with Steve Peterson and Jay Spencer with the PAMPEL Online Division of HBU. So we'll start over here with Steve. As Vice President of Digital Online Learning, what are your primary responsibilities here at HBU?
Sure. The primary responsibility is to take our already world-class education that's taking place here on campus and package it in a way that can be delivered in an online format. They call it modality. Many people are familiar with traditional classroom setting in which you attend class and the professor presents the material and the class starts and ends at a specific time. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take that same material and we're going to put it in an online format that allows people to attend class when it's convenient for them, when it works for their schedule, and it allows them to come in and out of the class as necessary. It allows them to review the material as many times as they need to. And so part of my role is to help facilitate that. It's already been happening really over the last 2 years at HBU with an initiative out of the provost's office to bring courses online just for the convenience for our residential students. And so now we're going to take the next steps or head into the next phase and launch a few new programs this fall and bring our total online programs up to 22. One of the things is we currently have graduate programs online, and we're going to introduce a series of undergraduate programs. And so some degree completion programs to allow some adult learners to enroll back in school and finish a degree maybe they started years ago. And so that's what we're focused on right now, making sure that we have the right programs to offer the HBU community in an online format. And so I'm partnering with many divisions across the university in order to facilitate that.
Awesome. So, Jay, since you are, I see your title is Associate Vice President for Digital Online Operations. Can you fill us in on what all responsibilities you have there?
That I'll be working with Steve and assisting him from an operational standpoint, where we'll begin to look at areas of student services that exist for the resident student that need to also exist for the online student, and make sure that a lot of the programs that we have available align from an accreditation standpoint with the same standards that are necessary in the residential program, so that the same type of education that's happening online is happening in residential as well. So we don't want to do anything that's going to put into jeopardy the university's accreditation status. And so we'll work closely with the provost's office and her team from that standpoint. And then from an operational standpoint in student services, we'll make sure that our online students have the assistance necessary they need to be able to complete the degree that they've come to us to earn.
What brought you to work in the higher education field?
Well, I'm originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I would describe myself as not the best student growing up. So it's interesting. I struggled through high school and got involved in a church youth group where the pastor encouraged me and really mentored me to first go to a place in upstate New York called Word of Life Bible Institute. He said, I think you should go up there and spend a year. They'll teach you from God's word, but they'll also teach you how to live the Christian life. And so that was my first step into education outside of the traditional K through 12. And that led to an additional opportunity to attend university. And so I took that step as well and earned an undergraduate degree from Liberty University and also worked there for more than two decades. And so during that time, I've earned a series of degrees and ultimately completing my doctorate degree. And so those steps made me realize that education is a key that opens the door to the next opportunity. And so the positions that I've held over the years have been afforded to me because of the degrees that I've earned or the steps that I've taken to better myself through education. And so realizing that, I really developed a passion for helping others understand that same potential. So to come from somebody who wasn't really the best student, the best and the brightest, and then work through a series of degrees and enhance my professional career, I just stayed on the track in higher education to help other people realize that same dream.
So Jay.
Yeah, for me, I completed my undergraduate degree and then went into ministry, and felt like that's what I wanted to do, and felt like that was a calling on my life, is to be involved in some kind of full-time service, for the Lord. So I went into ministry, pastored for a couple of years, and really enjoyed the teaching aspect of the ministry and the administrative side. The difficult part was the people. I know that sounds horrible, but, I was like, yeah, and I always wanted to go on for my graduate degree. I really liked college. I just loved being around the campus and, that type of thing. So I wanted to go back to school. So I went to Liberty and earned my graduate degree, and was going to go on for my doctorate at that point. At this point, I'm married, had two small children, and incidentally, had looked at going on to a doctoral program in Philadelphia. So I took my family up and visited Philadelphia. And if you know anything about Lynchburg, Virginia, compared to Philadelphia, I'm like, I can't take my kids out of Lynchburg to Philadelphia. I mean, it just wasn't going to be the same. And it just didn't feel right. So I decided to stay, and I was offered a position at Liberty early on in their distance learning program. Mm-hmm. And so I really got involved there, got involved in the administrative side, and started working with distance learning students, and just, developed a passion for that. And the, the administration and the organization and that sort of thing. And so I was able to, progress through my career there from, an academic advisor to, associate dean to dean to VP of Enrollment Management, eventually Vice Provost, and, so over the 30 years, I've done just a lot of different things, but all of them involved in some type of distance or online learning.
Obviously, your educational background was not online, so what brought to you the passion to actually work on online education?
Well, I mentioned I've earned a few degrees, but there's a story there and a gap of almost 8 or 9 years in which after I finished my undergraduate work, I attempted to complete a master's from the university seminary. Mm-hmm. But at that time, there was not an online. This is back in the 90s. The internet was
more years ago.
Yeah, many years ago. Seems like yesterday, but many years ago, the internet. Email was the latest technology at that point, right? America Online. So there wasn't an opportunity to take your classes online. Mm-hmm. So I had a full-time job. My wife and I were starting a family, and each semester, with the best intentions, I would enroll in the next series of courses to complete. Mm-hmm. And without a doubt, I would maybe attend one class, and then, it was at a specific time on Tuesday and Thursday at 3:45, and within a few weeks, there would be something that would interfere with that, either from a family standpoint or from my job, and so I would wind up withdrawing from those courses. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I just stopped enrolling. And I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, it was a 45-hour program, and I stopped somewhere around 36 hours. And wow. So now I'm approaching 30 years old, and I have not completed my master's. And a friend of mine who's a mentor asked me, did you ever finish that degree? And I said, no. And he said, well, we need to get that done. We need to finish that. Let me help you, and maybe we can put together an advising plan in order to complete that. And he came alongside and helped me finish that, and that was around 2005. And going back to school as what you would call an adult learner, so somebody now who's almost 30 mm-hmm. years old, I really fell in love with education again. And that next year, there was an online program launched at Liberty University for the Master's in Business Administration. Gotcha. And so I enrolled in that program. And over the next 2 years, I completed a master's degree because I could go online when it was convenient for me, I was still able to fulfill my professional duties and role. I was able to meet my family obligations, my ministry obligations. And so at that point, I really fell in love with education and enrolled in a doctorate program that I was able to complete, you know, 4 or 5 years later. And so, you know, that's the journey of many people. It's a road paved with good intentions, but not the opportunity to finish that degree. And online education has allowed people to do that. And so here at HBU, we have the quality academic programs, several that I've mentioned just a moment ago. We have the School of Christian Thought. We have a robust business school. We have great education programs. And so how do we go out and help people who are professionals and they have jobs, they have families, they have obligations? How do we allow them to attend class and to earn their degree? And I think online education is just the vehicle to help that happen. And so, you know, my own personal experience and really what's happened in the last 10 years in higher education is serving a market that otherwise wouldn't be able to go to school because it simply just doesn't fit into their life.
So, Jay, what brought it online education to your forefront?
Well, as I mentioned, I was involved in distance learning before the internet was Al Gore created the internet. So, you know, so I always knew the advantage of being able to offer at a distance those programs that you had residentially. And so, you know, over the 10 years of working with that program, you know, saw lives that were changed, much like what Steve's talking about in his own life, that, you know, military students that were able to complete degrees that they would have never been able to do had it not been for these VHS tapes that they had in a box that we shipped all over the country, you know, all over the world. So, you know, when we were able to move those programs to online, it just made, you know, operationally everything just so much easier to be able to be edited, duplicated, and delivered so much more efficiently than what they were, you know, done in the old distance learning days. So, mm-hmm. So I, you know, been involved in that aspect of delivering education for many years. So the online component was just an easy transition.
So out of curiosity, what about HBU's plan for online education ultimately brought you to HBU?
I think for Steve and I, the first thing that was really enticing to us about HBU was Dr. Sloan. You know, it was just meeting Dr. Sloan and getting an opportunity to, you know, just meet him in a casual setting and hear his heart, you know, and his vision and the 10 pillars, you know, and those, all of those things. And then, you know, meeting Jerry and his vision and for being able to raise the money necessary to be able to expand the online division. And so those early on for Steve and I, those were the two things that were two individuals that made a huge impact with us. And then we were able to actually visit the campus and see the heartbeat, you know, that's here. And it's very much a sister type of institution to the institution that we were at as far as mission and vision and that type of opportunity that existed to be able to do here, you know, what we had seen done somewhere else, and be able to expand the influence of this institution across the world was very enticing to us.
Yeah, I would echo, obviously, understanding who the leadership here at Houston Baptist was. But when we had the opportunity to visit campus and spend some time specifically with the leadership here at the institution, you know, I've had some experiences where you go to a company or another institution over the years and you think to yourself, man, I wouldn't want to work with those people, or that's a dysfunctional team. And so, you know, it just never...
Or they have no money.
Or they have no money, yeah. And it just wasn't enticing. And so we had the opportunity for almost a full morning to sit with the president and his council and walked away from that with just great energy and you know, appreciation for their spirit, their commitment to HBU, to commitment to Christian higher education. And on the flight back, Jay and I said to each other, you know, that's a place we could work. Like, already just kindred spirits and what needed to be accomplished here. And so we were drawn to that. And in addition, you know, walking campus and, you know, interacting with the student body and staff. In fact, one of my visits here, I was walking down the sidewalk and, you know, I felt like I knew where I was going, but somebody stopped and asked me if they could help me. You know, just the spirit that is on campus and the commitment to HBU, it drew us here.
Awesome. So in y'all's opinion, why would you think that this is the proper time for HBU to jump into the online education market?
I think online education over the years, you know, was looked at as subpar, that it wasn't adequate. And from an academic standpoint, the research is there, and that's settled. That's no longer the case. And there was some hesitancy among academic leadership, not just presidents, but also faculty. Was it just a fad? Was it a phase? Was it, you know, something like the late 90s? Was it an internet company that's just going to bust? You can't really deliver quality, full online programs, online. It's just not possible. And so, you know, there was the wait and see mentality of how this is going to pan out back in the early 2000s. And there were some for-profit universities kind of paving that way. But really over the last 5 to 6 years, I think maybe starting with the MOOCs and that push and major institution, top-tier institutions, developing courses online through the MOOC movement, which has sort of subsided, made educators realize that online education is here to stay. And so it's not, moving away from the traditions of an on-ground or a campus program as much as it's bringing in the technology and adapting that to the curriculum and the programs that we already have. And so maybe 10 years ago, there were these parallel tracks. There's this on-campus environment, and then there's this online environment. And now with the young people coming up, you know, that those two tracks are crossing, and we now have 18 to 22 year old students coming to campus, enrolling in a program, and then supplementing that degree completion with a few online courses. It used to be you came to school in the fall and the spring, and you went home for the summer. Well, now with online education, a student can come in, take classes in the fall, in the spring, maybe knock some courses out online over the summer. And so we're really seeing those two things come together. So I think for HBU, and as I mentioned earlier, they were already developing courses online over the past 2 years, that it's just the natural next step. They've really laid the groundwork to launch the additional programs. And so I just think it's the time, and the leadership here realized that this isn't moving away from what we've done for the last 50 years. This is just enhancing what we already have.
I would agree with that as well. I would add that, you know, technology has dramatically changed the way people learn. And if we are not adapting to that process as an institution of higher learning and bringing education to students in the way in which they want to learn, then we're failing as a mission, you know, as an educational institution. So being able to do that, you know, through online education, you know, helps tremendously. I think the other thing, though, that makes it right for HBU right now, and I mentioned this in the forum that a few weeks ago, is that HBU's mission and vision dictates, in a way, as a Christian institution, to spread its vision, to spread its message. And what better way to do that than through online education? You know, so you don't have to come to Houston to get a higher education, as we like to say here at HBU. You can do that online and still get the same flavor that you would get in the residential classroom. You know, so it makes sense. And I might also add that, you know, a lot of times people, you know, think from a, you know, they're hesitant about online education because they think, you know, online's going to replace college. There's never going to be another, you know, eventually the college campus is going to be gone. You know, and I just don't believe that, because there's always going to be that opportunity for the 18 to 20-year-old to come and rub shoulders with another 18 to 20-year-old and have that life experience of being a college student on a college campus. You know, so there's not the threat that what we're doing and with HBO Online is going to replace what's happening here in the residential. It's going to accentuate that.
So, Steve, you brought up a good point about the research of the quality of the online education versus on campus. So what would be your rebuttal to the naysayers of online education stating that it's going to be inferior? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I think that's simply maybe a misunderstanding of what's happening. Technology doesn't necessarily improve learning as much as it enhances the learning environment. And we've seen that in classrooms since, you and I were kids. We used to have a chalkboard, and I can imagine at some point somebody saying, well, you can't have a screen and a computer and a slide deck. You have to be able to write on the board. And so the online delivery format is simply enhancing the curriculum that is already taking place on a campus. And I think technology has changed the way we look at a lot of things. I'm old enough to remember the concept of banking online and how unsecure that would be, or shopping online. Well, how could I shop online? How would I return something? Well, Amazon changed that, and Wells Fargo and Bank of America changed online banking. And so we're talking about education just fitting into that technology. And in fact, one of the things that's beginning to happen right now is, online education is viewed from a desktop perspective. But more and more people are using smart devices and mobile phones, and we're starting to see our curriculum adapt to that format as well. And so, to address naysayers, I think it really just is a matter of misunderstanding. If they were able to take the time to look at the program, and I'll give you an example of classroom interaction, and I love this. So if you go into a classroom that has 20 students here on the campus of HBU, mm-hmm. and the professor begins the dialogue with those students and asks them a question, there's, four or five kids in the class that are pretty outspoken. So their hands shoot up, they engage mm-hmm. the professor. Then there's the middle of the road group, they might respond. And then there's the other four or five students, they're ducking behind their neighbor. They're trying to lay low. Yeah, don't look at me, don't call on me. And so they can skate through the class. They didn't have to interact. And so out of 20 kids that are sitting in a traditional classroom, for the most part, let's just give the benefit of the doubt, half of them engaged in that class. Mm-hmm. So let's take that class online. And so we communicate in an online format in what's called a discussion board, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so the professor will go into the discussion board and they will post a question, and maybe with some type of instruction that says, in 150 words or 200 words, respond to this prompt. And so now you have to write a few paragraphs and you post that. Great. Now you have 20 people responding to the professor's post. They're interacting in the class. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then we take it a step further and we say, everyone who's posted, we now need you to read, post from your classmates, and respond in 100 to 150 words to their post. So now what you've done in an online format is you've created this collaboration that might not even take place in the traditional classroom because, of personalities and so forth. And so that's an example of how online education in some ways might enhance the learning experience, because now I've not only had to post my response to the professor, I've had to read responses from my peers, my classmates, and then I've had to respond to that, right? So now mm-hmm. we have the same interactions in an online format, but really deeper in some ways than you would in face-to-face instruction.
I think there's, just to add to that, I think there's a richness in that discussion that doesn't happen in the classroom mm-hmm. as well. In some of the classes that I've taught online, I've been able to see, comments and discussions that have took place that would have never taken place in the classroom. The vulnerability that the student feels and is willing to share in an online format is amazing. And then it just adds to the richness of that discussion that you would really never find in a classroom setting.
I'm sure in our promotions that we're going to be interacting with prospective students. I guess two-part is, are we attempting to make sure that students are aware of the online accreditation to distinguish from the, you know, fly-by-night or the other for-profit online institutions? Or is this something that they're already aware of? How adaptable are current students that, you know, they have confidence in HBU's courses?
Yeah, so our message would be simply that. Mm-hmm. Houston Baptist University has been around since 1960. We're accredited by SACS at the highest level mm-hmm. for a university. We just had our five-year review in which there were no findings. And so what we want people to understand is the online delivery of that same content. The courses that are developed for the online program are developed by faculty that reside and teach here on campus. They're excited about the opportunity to take a course that they developed for the residential student body, modify that to deliver it in the online student body, and then multiply that to be taught, you know, many times over. And so the same quality education that takes place on campus, we are committed to making sure that that's carried out through the online program. And so the you know, name of Houston Baptist University, or HBU, is well-respected in the community. It's well-respected by employers, and our graduates are placed in companies where we hear great reviews about their performance. And so this is an extension of that already well-respected name in education.
So out of curiosity, so we've talked about the students. What about the faculty that are teaching these courses? Are these all new faculty, or are we using those that are teaching on campus, or is it a mixture?
It'll be a mixture. There's some great faculty that exist here at HBU. We definitely want to make sure that we're utilizing their expertise and their knowledge and their subject matter to be able to expand that. But the beauty of online education is you take a course, and it's that course, and you duplicate it many times as the number of students who want to take that course. The way that course is then facilitated or taught is by adjunct faculty who meet the qualifications necessary from an accreditation standpoint to be able to teach that course. And so you've got what we would call a subject matter expert who would be, you know, a faculty member here on this campus that is highly respected and qualified that would create a course that would be able to be delivered in an online fashion and supported by another qualified faculty member to be able to teach that course. So, and those faculty can be anywhere the students are. You know, they don't have to reside here on this campus. Mm-hmm. So that makes it easily duplicatable.
So how difficult it is for a traditionally on-campus faculty member to get into the realm of online learning? Are they adapting well?
Well, I would equate it to maybe you or I wanting to launch a website. Mm-hmm. We've seen websites. We've interacted on websites. We know how they should look and feel. But I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at coding. And I'm sure there's tools out there that could help me, or I could spend the next 2 years of my life learning. Or I could get together with somebody who lives in that world and say, hey, I want to build a website, and here are the main themes that I'm thinking about, and here's what I would like to do, and we'd like to have a video, and I'm going to sell my book. And they would come back with a wireframe, and they would lay out how we would build the site, because they're an expert in taking you know, an idea that you or I might have and putting it where? Online. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with a subject matter expert that Jay mentioned earlier. They're a content expert in their field of study. Whether it's psychology or business or education or nursing, they know that field. They don't have to be an expert in online education delivery format. And so we have people that actually have spent their career developing courses online that will partner with the faculty so that they can lay out their vision for the course, so that mm-hmm. they could lay out the criteria for the course. And then that person will set it up in a format that will work inside of our what's called a learning management system. It's called Blackboard. And so that's how we utilize existing faculty. They don't have to go out and become experts in Blackboard necessarily to develop a course. And so we have instructional technologists to do that.
Well, great. Well, thank you, guys. I think this deserves more discussion, so we probably will have another session of this real soon. Thank you all, and we appreciate your time here.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
At HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.